There's a growing awareness that portion sizes dictate how much we will eat. It is an interesting characteristic of human behavior that is now being studied and revealed in more detail. Although we believe that we can determine how much we are eating and can control our portion sizes, the opposite seems to be the case. And according to a study done by Jamie Schwartz, who's a registered dietitian, lead author of this study, who works with food and beverage clients in public relations at Ketchum, is here to talk to us about this. And I'm really happy to have you on the air because this is an area that we talk about a lot, especially in the context of obesity and the obesity rates increasing. And frankly, a recent trip I took to Florida and Disney World and looking at people walking around the parks and really seeing them overeating and for people who really should not have been overeating.
Mm-hmm.
So my first question to you is, what led you to look into this specific aspect of behavior in terms of how we eat and portion sizes and how we determine the amounts that we eat?
Well, there's a lot of research out there that has determined that portion sizes have grown over the past couple decades. There was a researcher at NYU, Lisa Young, who did some historical data on the changing portion sizes served at restaurants. So we have that established, that we know that portion sizes have changed. So what I was interested in understanding is, okay, so we have larger portion sizes, but are we selecting more when we're serving ourselves? Is it that restaurants are just serving us more, or do we now serve those larger portions to ourselves?
And what were you finding? What did your research show?
Well, what we did was we replicated a study that was done 20 years ago, so we could establish that comparison. So we had a study that was really ahead of its time. Helen Guthrie at Penn State in the early 80s did the study where she asked young adults to select what they thought were typical portion sizes of commonly consumed foods. So we had that as a baseline of comparison. So we replicated the study, and what we found was that in most cases, portion sizes selected were larger. And we served a variety of plates and cups and bowls and serving utensils to give that variety so people weren't limited by the size of the container. And just like the study we replicated, we didn't track who chose the larger bowls or plates, but it could kind of be inferred that people were selecting larger plate size and cup size, and that allowed them to select larger portions.
So, in other words, is there a comfort zone that people have? And have you seen a change in that sort of comfort zone or determination of what is considered to be a normal portion size? Not normal in the sense of normal for health, but normal in the sense of what society views as a normal size now.
Well, people always think bigger is better, and they want the bang for their buck. And especially when they're at a restaurant and they are paying for their food and they or sitting down and being social and enjoying themselves. You know, they're used to seeing a certain amount of food on a plate. And now what we looked at was, okay, so now when they're home, they're likely choosing those larger portions, mm-hmm. and they have this portion distortion. They have this misperception of what a typical portion size should be.
Now, does the size of a plate actually govern how much somebody eats? For example, if someone is given a small plate, but it's filled, it's not overflowing, but it's filled, but it's a smaller plate, do they feel as satisfied after they eat that? If that's what they're being served, they're not going up to get any more food, it's not a buffet, it's just simply they order a meal and this is what comes to them, or they're at home and they're using smaller plates, do they believe that they've eaten enough if they've eaten off that plate?
Well, there's two different issues here from what I'm listening to when you're asking me this question. Mm-hmm. One is that, there is research that shows that larger plate size and bowl size encourages you to put more on your plate. But then you also mentioned the word satisfied. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we've kind of lost, that physiological mechanism that tells us when we're full. We don't really think about when we're satisfied. We're sitting, we're eating, we're chatting with friends, we're talking, we're being social. And eating has really become more of a social activity. And when you're served a larger portion on a larger plate and you're talking and you're not really concentrating on the act of eating, you're just enjoying conversation. So that's something that we've kind of lost sight of. We're tending to eat with our eyes instead of our stomachs.
So would you say that people are not paying attention now to the quantity of food that they're eating?
Right, yeah. They're not paying attention, and they're not realizing that there are larger portions that are being served, and that also plate size has changed. There was a survey done that recognized that plates now in restaurants are around 12 inches, and 20 years ago they were around 10 inches. And that doesn't seem like that much, but a 12-inch plate could hold 25% more food than mm-hmm. a 10-inch plate.
Well, it's just like computer screens, right? You go that extra couple of inches, or a television, you think that, well, it's not going to make a huge difference, but it actually gives you a lot more space.
Exactly. And in that case, in a computer screen size or right. a TV size, that would be bigger, yeah. might be better, but not when you're dealing
exactly.
with food, because even if it's a healthy food, it's still more calories.
Correct. So why are we seeing this response now? I mean, you covered some of the areas, but there's, for example, in grocery stores, are you seeing more products being made that are now larger, or what's considered to be the portions of these items? Are there through in the freezer for the sort of the TV dinner stuff, or the frozen food or prepared foods, or the cans, or whatever people are buying? Are the sizes of the grocery items larger as well?
Well, that also brings into the issue of what the serving size is on the label versus what a portion size should be.
Right.
So you have a bottle of soda, which might have 2.5 servings in it, but it's an individual unit, so people see that as one, and they will drink that all at one occasion, even though there's 2.5 servings in the bottle. So in terms of TV dinners and things like that, like portion sizes, I don't know if there's research that shows that they have changed, but in terms of individually packaged foods that
right.
are sold, they might not be one unit, but people consume them as one unit on one eating occasion. And we tend to eat in units. There's some research that shows that. Barbara Rolls at Penn State showed that people served different sizes of sub sandwiches. They ate, when they were served larger subs, they ate more of it.
There was another study I remember seeing where they had people sitting at a table and they were given soup.
Yes.
And,
yes.
And that there was actually a tube underneath the bowl that kept filling up the soup bowl.
Right. That's Brian Wonsick at Cornell. He does really interesting research.
Right.
And bottomless bowls, you know.
That's right.
People will continue eating if there's still food left in there.
That's right. And I think, in fact, that some of the people actually consumed 40% more soup
mm-hmm.
than they normally would have. They didn't even notice that the bowl wasn't
right.
going
mm-hmm.
down.
Yeah.
And then there were other issues of looking at, for example, it was popcorn.
Right. Stale popcorn.
That's right. And that, too, showed that even if it was 14-day-old popcorn,
yep.
if they were given the larger bag, they ate more of the stale popcorn.
Right. And also there was a study that looked at variety. There was a bowl of colored M&Ms versus one solid color M&Ms, and people ate more when they were able to serve themselves from a bowl of colored M&Ms, which kind of goes back to when you think about Thanksgiving and you're served such a variety of food
right.
and you tend to eat so much but you don't feel full because you're still getting that variety. Like your brain kind of tricks you because you want to be able to taste all of the different foods and you don't get sick of it. So
now there was an interesting phenomenon, and I forget where this was done, but this was to look and see how much somebody took under situations where there was a limited quantity of food that was available and there were a lot of people around. So that what they found is that people actually took less when they knew that there were a lot of people who needed to eat from that same bowl
mm-hmm.
as opposed to when there was just unlimited quantities with that same number of people, they filled up their bowls even more. So there seems to be a little switch anyway, psychologically speaking,
right.
for people to guide themselves. But I think you're right that when there is a perception of there's plenty of everything, then I'm just going to take plenty
right,
of everything.
Right, exactly. And the environment has so much to do with how much we choose to eat, how much we eat. There's research that shows that lighting in a room is a factor of how much we eat,
mm-hmm.
and music, the pace of music. So it's just what the issue is that there's just not an awareness of the act of eating anymore. You know, it's become a very social event when we're out at restaurants, even when we're at work and eating at our desk. Like we're not thinking about the fact that we're refueling ourselves. That's, you know, like some people eat to live, some people live to eat, but
right.
the bottom line is that, you know, we need this food is fuel, and yeah, you want it to taste good, but there's that fine line between okay, I'm satisfied and I'm enjoying it, and it's versus it's there and I'm going to clean my plate.
Now, are there as a final question, are there any specific take-home messages or points that you'd like to make on the basis of your research and other research that you think our listeners should understand?
Well, when people are out to dinner, I always like to tell people that they could tell the waiter to package half of it up even before it's served to them. Mm-hmm. So they get what's on their plate, they eat it, and then they have a whole second meal to bring home with them. So because once you actually get the plate, yeah, you could look at it and say, okay, I'm only going to eat this much. But then once you get into that conversation and the social aspect of eating, you kind of lose sight of that. So just, you know, being like you could do that. The waiter, the restaurant will allow you to do that. And also just, you know, just having that awareness of the act of eating and still being social, but just, you know, recognizing that you don't have to clean your plate. And when you're at home, some tips I like to give mm-hmm. are to choose smaller plates. And if you're eating at a table, it's best to keep the food in the kitchen and then serve yourself and then bring it to the table rather than having the containers holding the food on the table.
Less tempting.
Right.
Well, Ms. Schwartz, I'd like to thank you very much for taking the time. I had a great time talking to you about this and very interesting psychology and also looking at how portion sizes affect our eating habits. I think this is very good advice for everybody.
Great. Well, thank you for having me. It was great to talk to you, too.
All the best. Jamie Schwartz is a registered dietitian and lead author of the study of portion sizes and senior account executive at the Food and Wellness Group in Ketchum. I'm Dr. Barry Dworkin. Coming up, the genetics of breast and colon cancer, speaking to Dr. Victor Veculescu from Johns Hopkins University. I'm Dr. Barry Dworkin. We'll be back.